It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're continuing the study in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13. We're going to finish reading the 13th chapter. We're going to read down through the 13th verse of the 14th chapter. So please open your Bibles, and I hope that the opportunity is there so that you can do that, so that you can follow along as we go verse by verse down through God's Word. Exodus 13:19 is where we're going to begin. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Hope again that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin the study today. Exodus 13, verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and he camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Balaam Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored unto Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Israel, and the captains over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, before Balaam Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And verse 14, and then we'll begin with prayer. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. I praise you for this opportunity to have this program, to go across the radio and enjoy the study of your word, and that so many folks can enjoy listening, learning, and growing in you. I hope, dear Lord, through this study that there are folks that are listening, and I know there are folks that are listening that have never come by faith to you. They've never been saved. They have been maybe very religious all their life, but they have never experienced a personal relationship with you. They have never recognized their truly recognized their sin and asked you to come into their heart and to save them. I ask that that be done today because you tell us that today is the day of salvation. You don't say anything about tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. So, dear Lord, please, that you'll touch the hearts of all that are listening, those lost especially for salvation. But those, Father, saved, please that you will direct them to a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church where they'll hear the Word of God and they'll grow in you and become a mighty witness for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we sure enjoy the study as we look back at the last part of this 13th chapter. And as we do that, why, we're looking at a couple of things here as we close out the 13th chapter, and that is that something that was said long before, and it was in Genesis chapter 50, and Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. Let's just take a minute to look that up. And so Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, and we're going to find out what Moses is telling us about something that Joseph had said early on, and let's take a look at this now, and we'll kind of find out how long that from the time of the death of Joseph until now. We'd looked at the 430 years earlier, hadn't we? Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25, and that only leaves one more verse in the book of Genesis. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. You see, Joseph, and that would have been, let's look at the years here, we're looking about 200 years at this time now, from a little less than 200 years from the time that Joseph died till Moses is leading the children of Israel out. So for 200 years, the bones of Joseph was awaiting the journey back to the promised land. And Joseph knew God's word was true. God's word was certain, and God was going to send a prophet that would lead the people of Israel out of Egypt back to the homeland. They weren't forever to stay in Egypt. They were going to go home. And so that's exactly what we've read here in Genesis 50:25, that Joseph said, take my bones with you and bury me in the promised land. And that's what he wanted. Moses honored that. The children of Israel followed through even though it was 200 years. And yet the bones of Moses was brought and taken out. And now they take their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham to the edge of the wilderness. Now here's where it begins to get a little strange, the path that God leads them. And we know that it wasn't just the way Moses went, it was the path that the Lord led them in. And as we look at verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It wasn't just Moses, it just wasn't just Aaron that could see this pillar. It was all the people could see, literally see, the glory of God. Now you think about all that has taken place in the nation and to the nation of Israel, not in the nation because they had no land, they were in Egypt, but to this people, the Israelites. Look at all that they have witnessed as God handed out judgment upon Egypt over and over and over again, finally ending with the death of the firstborn. And through that death, they receive salvation, if you remember. And so what a wonderful side that we have. The salvation has come unto the people of Israel. They have been delivered not only from death of their firstborn of beast and their firstborn child, also they are being delivered out of the land. And how are they being delivered? By the hand of God. And they're also having the opportunity to see the literal glory of God. It's a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And this is what is leading them into the wilderness. And we're going to see here that the Pharaoh is going to think that they're just confused. Well, we're going to see that they're not confused at all, because a lot of times God will send us down somewhat of a strange way, somewhat of a direction that just doesn't quite seem right to us. But be assured that if the Lord is involved in it, and if He is having you do this, it doesn't matter where it seems for you that it's going. What matters is exactly that you're following God's will. Here they are following literally the glory of God, fire by night and fire and smoke by day. And they can go day and night as they travel. And we're looking anywhere from 1.5 million, 2 million, possibly up to 3 million people is leaving Egypt. And when we find that it begins immediately upon them leaving is this pillar. Pillar of a cloud led them the way. The pillar of fire gave them light at night. So day and night they had the Lord's leadership and His direction and power. Now we come and we find, and so not only did they gather the bones of Joseph, let's get that clear, and now we find that the direction they're going is God's direction. This is going to confuse the world, and we'll take a look at that here. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Balaam Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now, we don't really know where those places are located. We know that they didn't head right up towards the Gaza Strip, you know, heading through the Philistine land and going right to the Promised Land. Been a lot shorter. That wasn't God's plan. God had some work to do in these people because, you see, they had lived in the world, in the land of Egypt, for all these years. There was no one alive that remembers the Promised Land. There was no one alive that remembered Abraham. We have passed over 200 years just from the time of the death of Joseph and the leaving of the people out of the land. And remember, that's where part of the bondage and the slavery started, because the new Pharaoh knew not Joseph. Didn't remember how Joseph had spared the land of Egypt when he had the famine, years of famine, and then the years of plenty, and how God used Joseph to secure a place for Jacob and his family to come down into Egypt. You know, that's been forgotten. And you know, how many things do you remember that took place 50 years ago or 100 years ago, let alone 200 years ago? And remember, we even looked at 430 years ago. But if you add the years up, you'll find that's from the time that Abraham went down into Egypt the very first time. And God says 430 years. And so by Abraham being disobedient and going down into the land of Egypt, and he, remember, lied about Sarah, his wife, came back with a lot of cattle, and Lot and Abraham got into a fuss, or their herdsmen did. And it just continues, you know, and that's what happens when the world gets into us. Or we get into the world, whichever, and many times it's both. And so that's what's happening here. And now we find that the Lord is leading them, and He's leading them into a place that's somewhere between the Nile and the Red Sea, some place of vast water, because there appeared to be no way out. And, you know, some of the liberals today, they want to come up with the reason, and they says, you know, when Israel got to the coast there, why, it was just kind of a marsh. And so it was during the dry season, they say, and so all they had to do was just kind of walk across. Well, there's some problems with that, because we're going to find out God's Word says it was dry land that they crossed. we're going to find out that prior to that, they know, and that's what we're going to read here, that death is coming to them because there is no way out that they can see. So wherever this place is that God has led them to is a place that would seem to be the worst position for an unarmed people to be. Particularly if we find out that Pharaoh and all of Egypt, with all of his horses and chariots and swords and spears and everything, is coming after him, this would seem to be the most illogical place to be. It is the wrong place to be. It is the dumbest place to be as far as they're concerned, as far as Pharaoh's, as far as Israel's concerned, and Pharaoh's thinking the same way. I mean, Pharaoh's not dumb. He knows this territory. And so what does he think is happening here? And so we don't know for sure where these locations are in verse 2, but we know that we're coming upon a large body of water. And I'm going to prove to you why that we know it wasn't just a marsh, someplace they could walk across through the mud. We're going to prove to you by the word of God that that's not right. But we find here in the third verse, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel." So here's Pharaoh after he gets finished with the shock of his firstborn, and then he begins to do only one thing, and that's all the world knows to do, is have a vengeance. He wants revenge for what has happened to him, the death of his firstborn, the death of the firstborn of the beast, the destruction of the land of Egypt, and he was forced, his hand was forced by God to let the people go. But now that the people are let go, now he is angry again, he's furious again. And he looks and he can see the direction that Israel's going in. He's got spies out there all the time watching. It's not too tough, you know, it's not too very tough. It's to hide, you know, 2 million people. That's tough. It is difficult to hide that many people. And so what we need to do here is let's just go after them. That's what Pharaoh said. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, "They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." That's what Pharaoh sees. That's what Pharaoh sees. And really, if you look at it by the world's standpoint, that's exactly what was happening. That's exactly what was taking place there. And so we find that then because of all this, and the Lord continues to harden the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh will not turn and repent. And so, and that's something that could happen to you. And that is, if you continue to refuse the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, you refuse to come by faith to Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a point in time when the call is going to end, and your heart is going to become hardened, and it will continue to harden itself to the place that there is nothing there. I've known people that have done that, and it's so sad to see the miserable life that they lead because they rejected the call that God had given them. Please let that not take the place to be your place, that it's not happening to you. Again, Pharaoh is looking, and he's saying, the children of Israel, they're just entangled in the land. The wilderness is going to shut them in. And so I will harden, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. Now, how could this be? How is Pharaoh going to bring any honor unto God? Well, we can see how he's going to bring honor as we continue down through this wonderful part of God's Word. And upon not only Pharaoh, but upon all the hosts, the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Now, that's what happens, you know, a lot of people, and I know many folks, that refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They are so, so religious that they've locked themselves out of the opportunity to be saved. That's what can happen when you get too religious, because we don't need, you know, we don't need religion. We need Christians. We need people that are Christ-like. Now, the only way that you can know if you're a Christian is if you are Christ-like. So to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. That means you act like Christ, you talk like Christ, you walk like Christ. And so we find that there are many cults out there today that they have brought this term in among themselves, and they have said, I am a Christian. Yes, I belong to this group, this denomination, but I am a Christian. No, you cannot be a Christian. And the reason you can't be a Christian is because you can't believe that filth and that garbage that is taught by your denomination and be a Christian. Now, you've got to understand that the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, teaches us the ways of Jesus Christ. And then we begin to walk that way and serve that way and praise His name. Now, if you believe in some of the doctrines of these cults and you say, I can believe both, no, you can't. You can only serve one master. And so if you want to believe that filth and that garbage, then that's fine. It's all man-made, it's tradition-made, and most today of our mainline denominations have followed that. They have followed the tradition of man and no longer follow the Word of God. But they still hold to the fact that their name is a Christian. Well, here we find that God's going to be honored by the Egyptians, through the Egyptians. And that's the same thing. When you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will, at some point in time, be before Him. And as you stand before Him, you will kneel down and you'll bow before Him and you will confess that He is truly the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But as the Egyptians here, by the time that they bring honor to God, their life is over. And it's going to be the same thing with you. If you reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the time you call upon Him and call Him Lord and bow before Him as you should today, by the time you do that, it's going to be over. It's going to be too late. So we got quite an example here because it could very well be you. And so we find now that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Maybe your heart is beginning to harden, but it's to this point yet, God is still calling you. You still have that yearning to come. Please that you confess your sin right now and come to Jesus Christ. Please that you do that quickly. And then don't just get on your knees. You could be all by yourself right now. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, please save me. And after you call upon Him, and after the Spirit of God comes within your heart, then please call me. It's so important. Please write to me. It's so important that you confess publicly what has taken place privately. So please call upon Him. Here's what we're going to find here with the Egyptians. And that God says, the Egyptians will know that I am Lord. Well, so will you. So will you. You can deny in this whole lifetime. But when this lifetime's over, there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time that you will know that He is Lord. You can deny it here, but there's going to be a time. It was told the king of Egypt, verse 5, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots, this is Pharaoh, made ready his chariots and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. So now we have the action of Pharaoh. You see, he has hated the children of Israel. He has brought them into bondage and slavery, and God has delivered them out. And upon delivering them out, instead of Pharaoh recognizing the power of God, I mean, God has just destroyed all the land of Egypt, and yet Pharaoh will still not recognize God's hand and God's power. He refuses to. And so That's what happens to you when you refuse to acknowledge God and His power and God's desire to save you, the need that you have of salvation. When you have rejected that, when you have turned aside from that, and you refuse to accept the fact that you're lost and you're dying in your sin and you're dead in your sin and trespasses. So please, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus today, that you call upon Him, that you ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. If not, you're going to be as this Pharaoh, and it's just going to become a vengeance to you. The anger is going to build so much that you're going to want revenge, and then you're going to not only dislike being preached the Word of God, you're going to get to where you hate hearing the Word of God. You're going to get to where you hate the fact of a true believer. You would rather be this false believer, this one that believes these cults and follows these ways. You'd rather do that, and I'll tell you what, you got all kinds of company. You got all kinds of company, because there's a multitude of people that think that they're born again, but they're not, and that maybe is you. Please today that you turn to Jesus Christ and call upon Him. Pharaoh here not only hardened his heart, and God hardened his heart as the people of Israel had fled, but he set up now 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, every chariot of Egypt, captains over every one of them. He brought the best people to come after Moses and the children of Israel to destroy them. I mean, he's coming after them with a vengeance, and he is one-sided. He has one thing on his mind. He doesn't care that he's got to come back and rebuild Egypt. He doesn't care anything. The only thing he cares about is getting even. And that's what that's the only thing the world has to offer, is I'm going to get even. It's my share. And that's the reason, you know, as a believer, if you're born again and you have dealings with the world, you'll find that that's the way they are. They're selfish and self-centered. They want what they want, and they don't care who they hurt, who they step on, or what they do. They don't do what's right. They do what they want, and that's all. There's a vengeance to them. There's a hatred in them. And that's what happens to folks that refuse Jesus Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no love in you. All there is hatred. I have known many people that just, they don't make any sense in their thinking. There is no common sense to them, because they have this desire to possess and to have, and it's a hatred that's in their heart. And that hatred will continue. But you know what? There's going to be a day that the judge will judge them. There's going to be a day that things are going to be squared out. It's going to be made even. Well, God's going to show His power here to the people of Israel and to the people of Egypt. And He'll do the same thing with you if you're lost, but He'll do the same thing with you if you're saved. He will show you His power. Please, that you see His power and His strength. 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pi-Hiroth before Balaam Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians march after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? What a sad statement for the children of Israel, witnessing all the power of God. So sad that they had already forgotten all that God has done for them. But you know what? We're exactly like that. God saves our soul, and so quickly we begin to be busy and stop serving Him, stop praising Him, stop honoring Him. It's so sad today how quickly our faith is gone. These people should have had faith beyond degree, because of what they had witnessed the hand of God do in the land of Egypt. But we're going to find here that faith soon goes beside itself. So please, we're going to begin there. Next time we come together, time passes so quickly. Oh, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?